Reifurjof Nissel Bas Edel. Simon Shin Nun Hey. Top line on page Resh Zayin. Halach is as follows. A person on the boat, he has got some waste waters which he needs to get rid of. He's on that boat. Can you see picture number 15? Just before page 414. The page before page 414. Can you see this gentleman over here on a boat? He's got wastewaters on Shabbos. He needs to get rid of some used water. What does he do? Any ideas? What is he going to do with the wastewaters? He needs to get rid of it. He doesn't want to have all that smelly stuff in the whole Shabbos in the boat. What is he meant to do? Yeah, good. Okay, it's true. He could do that. But there's even a simpler way than that. But you're right, he could do it. So we're learning now a special kula, which is the following. I mean, top line. Meimav yochel lishpoich al dofne hasfina. The wastewater he can throw, he can pour on the dofne, on the walls, on the sides, as fin of the boat, and that will go down into the water. Why? Since he doesn't throw it directly into the sea, rather, but it comes from his force. In other words, it's indirect. He doesn't pour it into the sea, but he throws it, like he stretches over, and he throws it onto the side of the wall. That makes it much easier. Because that's considered koichoi, it's considered indirect. As far as the sea is concerned, it's called an indirect pouring. You don't bring it directly into the sea, but it goes from the wall, through gravity, it goes down. Where did you throw it onto? You didn't throw it onto the Carmelis. You threw it onto the wall of the... And therefore, it's indirect. It is... Inevitably going to happen, but because it's from his strength and not directly. And koicha bekamlis lo gozu, and the rule is koicha bekamlis lo gozu. Since the sea is a kamlis, and you are pouring from Rishus Yochid onto a kamlis, so you're not allowed to just take it and pour it like this. But if you are throwing it onto the spinner, and from the spinner it goes down, that's koichoi, that's through strength. It's indirect. I don't think indirect is the right word. Chaim, can you help me out? I don't think indirect is the word. It's mekoichoi, from his strength. What's the better word to translate this? It's not, it is gravity, but it is for gravity. How would you say it? So does that mean it's indirect? It's not indirect, it's just delaying process. Well, how would you say mekoichoi? It's not indirect. Inevitable. But it's not mamash's action, but it's inevitable. And that's why, when it comes to kamalis, it's mutter. Continues the Ramah. Again, again?
On a regular binyan.
Yeah.
Sponger,
if it's going to a kamalis, it's going to Rosh Hashanah.
What?
If it's going to a Rosh Hashanah, it would be a problem. If it's going to a kamalis, you're right. Yep. Yep. It's koichav a kamalis le gozu. Yeah. We will talk more about this in Siv Beis shortly, Mitzvah, but let's just go through the Ramah. Shtei Sfinois Zubas, the two boats who are adjoining one next to the other. Also, Letaltel Mezum Lezu. If you've got two boats, imagine you're on out in the sea and you want to go, and then you saw in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, you're suddenly seeing your friend. He's also going through the cruise through the Pacific Ocean. And the pedaling is getting a bit difficult. Or the thing's getting a bit, and you're seeing the other one. He's coming from America. He's coming from the States, and you're coming from here. And then you're seeing, yeah. So now you want to just like change, kind like exchange, discuss a little bit what's going on. You're not allowed to go into his Sfinah and vice versa. You're not allowed to jump from one Sfinah to the next on Shabbos because of Eruvin reasons. You may not hit his domain, that's your domain. You're not allowed to go from one Rosh Hashanah to the next. Let's see what he says. You're not allowed to carry from one to the next. You don't have to carry from one sfida to the next. Elohim Kain, Kshurois, Zubuz, unless they are tied together. Elohim Kain, I'm Gvoyim in my Maso, if it's high than 10 Tfochim, because then again it will be for Mokom 2, which is fine. Fetzichim La'orev B'yachat, Imem Shal Shneb De'odim, they have to make an Eruv in order to allow carrying from one ship onto the other, from one boat to the other. So, again, you need to make an Eruv. If you don't make an Eruv, you may not carry from one sfin onto the next. Because it's going from one domain to the next, and you have to make an Eruv. Save base. Base HaKisei. Okay, outhouse. We are, Baruch Hashem, living in a generation where we've got wastewater, plumbing, it's all fine. And I was going through this sleep, I was thinking, you know, it's quite incredible that we live, every one of us, lives in far greater luxuries than Queen Victoria. Have you thought about that? It's quite amazing, no? The royals, 100 years ago, didn't have any plumbings, didn't have any water, didn't have electricity, and we all live with far greater luxury. No? Isn't that amazing? We live with far greater luxuries than the royals from yesteryear. What do you think about that? So nice now. So in those days, of course, the Pesach Kisei, the if somebody need to be excused, the Pesach Kisei would be not in the actual house, would be out of the house, because of there was no wastewater. No. So now, the way it would often be was, the Beis HaKisei was, if you were near, we all know that villages and cities were primarily built next to, precisely for that reason, river. That's right, it was very often next to rivers, for A, to have water, and also to get rid of the, it was the easiest way to get rid of all the waste. So therefore, it was very common that most cities were established near rivers, such as London, right? London is also officially near the River Thames. Not that we see the River Thames so often, but I suppose that's where it started. So now, the Beis HaKisei would often be near the water, and that's exactly what we're talking about in Tzif Beis. The Beis HaKisei was built, is there a picture here? Let's see if there's a picture. No, there may not be a picture. Not really, no. So the Beis HaKisei was on top of the water. It's quite similar to the picture 8 on previous page, but not exactly. No, it's not really. But the Beis HaKisei was al pnei ha-mayim, on top of the sea. So the Beis HaKisei was on top of the sea. Muta al yidei mechitza tluya. Here again, you would be allowed to use the Beis HaKisei. You're allowed to use it through a mechitza tluya. Mechitza tluya was the concept we discussed in the earlier Seif. Do you remember picture number 1, 2, and 3? In the 2 pages ago? Do you remember that? So how did that work? Yeah, that's right. Or in other words, but it is gudachis, you're right. In other words, mechitza tluya. Mechitza tluya means that if you've got mechitzas, you've got a fence around it. Can you see picture number 1, 2, 3, beginning of Simon Shina, opposite page 412. Have you got it, page 412? Yeah? So now, there you see, there is this surrounding fence, and then underneath it is water. So now imagine this fence wouldn't be a see-through fence like this, but it's a proper outhouse, a proper solid wall. So now you're also allowed to use this, and anything that falls into the water, that's fine. Why? Because the mechitza tluya. Mechitza tluya, this is a mechitza that goes down all the way down. An invisible mechitza going down all the way till the sea. That's how this Beis HaKisei works. So now, you're allowed to use it because of the mechitza tluya, which goes all the way down, and hence the whole thing is a rishus yochid. This is only if the wall was made in order and established in order to allow the area, the space underneath it, to be rishus yochid. Then it is fine. Avol, but huasui letznius, if it was only done, the wall around it was made letznius for modesty purpose, that you don't see what goes on there. Then it's not good enough. We're learning that the wall of mechitza tluya needs to be done specifically in order for the domain underneath to become rishus yochid. Otherwise, it will not help. If a person established a plank of wood, or he put something there, that the tzor should go through, it should go down, before it reaches the water, he will not require mechitza. I'm on top of page 414. Because that will be koichoi be kamelis in its mutters. Again, tis if he ends up in the kamelis through gravity, how do you say it? We should call it not indirect, but inevitable. Is that what you said? Inevitable. If it's inevitable, if it doesn't go straight into the water, but it goes indirectly to the water, that would be considered koichoi be kamelis. And his mutter as well. If the Besakise is built in a way that the toy goes on the side and then through that it goes into the water, that is fine as well. And through that it reaches the water later, that is fine as well. If this protrusion breaks on Shabbos, mutter it's permitted, because of Godel covered abrius. Because we have to look after a person's respect, and a person needs to have access to a toilet on Shabbos. And therefore, if for some reason there is no protrusion, it actually is a drabonon to use it. Nevertheless, it's mutter because of God with the kvodah brias. Habaisa, it's a bit of a discussion. I saw this shubas about it. To use our facilities nowadays to flush. If you think about this for a minute, why is it mutter to use our toilets nowadays? Have you ever thought about that? Because very good. Very good. But let's just get there for a minute. Let's ask the question. By flushing the toilet, the water goes from Moshe Tziochit and it goes away, and it probably will end up in at least a Carmelis. Where does the wastewater go? Where will it go?
The drain sewage system.
Drain sewage system until event, which is probably a Carmelis. Pardon? In the sewage, which is probably, I don't know if it's a Rishus Rabbim or Carmelis, probably Carmelis, must be Carmelis. So by flushing the toilet, you're indirectly causing the water to go into Carmelis. Hushyochit to Carmelis, which is also the Rabbonon. Why are we allowed to flush the toilet on Shabbos? I'm not suggesting you're not allowed to, I'm just asking, why are you allowed to? Have you thought of that? Good, I think that's certainly the answer. And that because it's indirect, you're not actually physically carrying, but you're actually causing something which will lead to it reaching eventually. And that is koichoi bekamelis legozun. That's koichoi, it's probably even less than that. But at the very least, it's koichoi bekamelis legozun. That's the head that we're using over here. Can certainly be applied there too. Flushing the toilet is through gravity. You're not actually physically, it's through indirect action that it actually goes into a karmelis, and that's why it's mutter. Yeah.
You
could even, no, it's your kayach.
So
over here we're talking about you're taking the bucket of wastewater in the initial sieve, and you're pouring it onto the boat. That's the koich of a karmelis, like also. Instead of pouring it into the water, which you're not allowed to, but you're pouring it onto you're throwing it back onto the side of the wall of the ship. Because it's still the actual, it's still part of Rishus Yochid, because it's fun as a part of Rishus Yochid. Yes, and then he ends up into a Carmelis. Yeah, yes, that is Pshan. So and yeah. We are flushing it. It's until it actually reaches the Carmelis. Many stage steps between here. Yeah. Sounds good. What's the heter?
What's our heter?
Because lichoira, you're saying that gomer?
Yeah,
it's gomer as well. I think it's probably gomer as well. No, you're right. There's probably two heterim that can be applied. One is koicha bekamris loygozu. I think that's one certain heter that can apply. That. You are saying that it's also gomer. That it's a very, why is it gomer? In which case? He's not.
He goes direct,
yes. Yep. Okay, so these are it's interesting because the discussion of using the there's also a shaila about the water, fresh water. To use fresh to switch the tap on. Where does the water come from? These are the small pipes, right? They're always the small pipes in the houses. So where does it come from? The fresh water. Where does it come from? So is that also Rosh Hashanah? Does it come from Rosh Hashanah? So why allowed to switch the water on if you're coming from a public domain into a private domain? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Some of it is in your tank, I think, though. Could be not. So that you're right. That could be that if the Rosh, where does it actually come? Where is it on the?
You know part of the pipe, and then the water company would own the main pipe.
Never mind who owns it. Where does it come from? Does it come from a public domain? Where does it physically come from?
Well,
the fresh.
From a reservoir,
presumably. Yeah. So that so. Is it in the tank? Is it fresh? Where is the fresh water when Shabbos comes in? In a tank. I think the water that I think that the I'm not sure. The whole water comes from a tank, obviously, but I don't know if the fresh
comes.
Yeah. So then we have so the Emma says I do not know if it's considered alach yirushus rabin because I don't know if there's a rule that it's if there is this under the ground. Yeah, so that would be a kamalis. Could be that it's also considered a gomer by putting the tap on, which basically allows the water flow to be released. That might be gom as well. You're unblocking a stopping mechanism. And that could be considered gomer. The pressure allows it to go through. That could be considered gomer, and therefore it's probably mutter.
What about stock?
What's that?
In terms of what you've got one in the street. Because I remember when I moved in there, not on Shabbos, but there was a guy next door, there was a flood. He had to turn the stock off in the street. It's like a tap.
And that comes from?
And you've got one in your house as well.
So all it's about stopping that mechanism.
If you had a flood, you wouldn't turn the water off.
Ah, I see. So that's not, you're not actually allowing anything to happen. So that shouldn't be carrying. I don't think you're carrying by doing that. There's no itzar taking place. Okay. We're now going to be discussing a bit more of the halachas of Kosev on Shabbos. Simon Shin Mem. Or Moichig rather. Famous halacha, gentlemen, birthday cakes. Who likes birthday cakes? Okay, allowed to cut birthday cakes on Shabbos. Birthday cakes? Who's into birthday cakes? You allowed to cut it?
Yes.
You allowed to? Why? We'll get to that. We'll mamash get to that, Mitzvah Hashem. Okay, so, is it okay to cut through birthday cakes? It is. What about biscuits and crackers, which has lettuce on it?
Everything.
You'll have to crack it. So wafers, biscuits, you'll have to crack it open. Everything is mutter.
Sfaradim,
everything is okay. Yeah, I'm not saying it's...
Shabbat is for Tanuk.
I agree.
Oh, look at that.
Yes, you've got good company. You've got good company because Mishtabu is with you. Okay, you've got good company. You're right. Okay, but let's just, Emma says, I want to say from the onset, it is a massive, huge chiddush over here that we're going to see in the Ramah, who is actually going to teach us that cutting a cake in which it says, happy 40th birthday, or mazel tov, whatever, to cut through that, to say that is considered mechika, which means erasing, rubbing off. That this is called mechika is an incredible chiddush, and although I'm been learning this now for many years, it's still to me something which I'm failing to fully grasp. Because surely, just like koisev means to write something, I'm taking a pen, I'm taking a marker, and I'm writing something on it. So mechika should be its opposite, and that means to. Right, so I wouldn't even say destroy it, to erase it. If I'm caught on a whiteboard and I'm writing something and I'm taking a shmat and I'm erasing, that is considered mechika. I can also hear that if you're taking a rubber and you wrote something in pencil and you're rubbing it off, that is mechika min haTorah. I can hear that. That's what my little brain can understand. But to now say that when you have a birthday cake and you're cutting that, that's considered mechika. Despite having learned this for so many years, so many times, I'm still struggling with it, with this concept. I'm struggling with it. Why is it considered mechika? It's not mechika. You're distancing the letters. That's all you're doing, really, are distancing the letters. Or perhaps, once you, if you're talking about cutting, so that's all you're doing, you're distancing it. Is that considered mechika? Well, we're seeing that it is. Pardon? Okay, so fine. So you cut it. Fine. So put it back together. Is Scrabble and Issa? Imagine you've got Scrabble, the squares. Yeah, you're putting them away and you're putting them back together. Is that considered mechika? It's very hard to grasp. It's very, very hard. Perhaps yes, perhaps not. And eating it, is that considered mechika? Perhaps when you're eating the piece of cake, it means that cutting is not a problem. Is the eating perhaps the problem? Well, is that the problem? Eating it, is that the problem? Separating letters.
Yeah, you're destroying the letters.
Why am I destroying? When am I destroying it? When? At what point?
Happy birthday, the H. You cut it. Because there's one line of the H, another line of the H, another letter anymore. You destroy the letter.
Well, first of all, I can put it back together. Why not? Unless it's crumb. Is it because it's become crumbs? Is that why? Let's see. But Levi said, you are right and I am wrong, because the Gemara is teaching us. I'm just saying that I'm really struggling with it. Also, it's the Rishonim say it's a Motcha. And the Emma says there's not many Rishonim who quote this, but the Gemara does. Also, Lishboy Ugo. He's talking about a cake. Ugo. Ugo is a cake. You're not allowed to Lishboy Leshaber, which means literally to break. You're not allowed to break a cake. Shekosa Valea Kemin Oisius. You're not allowed to break a cake which has letters on it, FLP, although she'enu mechaven ragchil, although your intention is to eat it. You're not allowed to break it. To have a moichek. It doesn't say kamoichek, it says to have a moichek because you're actually erasing. I want to say that it's interesting that in other Amos we find, in Melchus Pesach we find, who was the Melchus Pesach? Do you remember Melchus Pesach? We learned it years ago. It was in some places, there used to be a minik, that on Leila Seder, you have three matzahs. We have three matzahs, right? So it used to be a minhag in the Rishonim's times that the top matzah would say on it Yisrael, and the middle matzah would say on it Levi, and the bottom matzah would say on it Kohen Levi Yisrael. It would say on it, yeah. It's not the minhag anymore. I've never seen such matzah, but it's brought down in the Rishonim. It's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. This is meaning. So here we see that, you know, because and how they eat it. So I'm not sure how they would eat it, but we see there was such a thing as a. But here we're learning that the Gemara is telling us that no, to break through an ugal through a cake is a problem. So that will lead. So according to that, what about the awesome crackers? Awesome crackers. It says awesome on it. Yeah. Yeah. Awesome crackers. Awesome said. Yeah. They say it. So what's the halakha? What's the halakha? What's that? The Kodesh Moed seems to be also. And why is it also? So let's see a little bit more of what the Mishnah Berurah is teaching us over here. So Sefkot New Dalet is teaching us something. Also Leshaber, you don't have to break through these letters. Mishnah Berurah is teaching us, Humuta Litznoi Letinoik. He's the first we have to give it to a child. Which that itself, why is a child allowed to do mechika on Shabbos? I don't understand. If it's okay to do, then it's okay to do. But if it's not okay to do, then surely, how can you give it to your child if it's a problem? But the Mishnah Berurah is telling us, no, you can't do it, but you give it to your child. Well, your child is a Shabbos, I'm saying, you know, Mishnah Berurah says, mutalit netinoik. I'm getting what you're saying about that. Why allowed to give it to your child? Interesting pshat, very interesting, because he can't read and therefore it's intrinsically not considered mechika. So he's saying that any child who is able to read will take the issa will apply. So tinoik doesn't mean because he's not mechuyav lemitzvos, it means because he can't read and it's a meaningless. So interesting, never heard this pshat. Very interesting. It's a big chumra what you're saying. It's a very big chumra because normally tinoik means a child. So you'd say a 6, 7, 8 year old would be allowed to eat. According to your pshat, it's an anoa, anybody that normally, you know, they can read earlier than that, it would be awesome. But it's an interesting pshat. Very interesting pshat. I really like it. Now, continues the Mishnah Berurah. Now comes the Mishnah Berurah with a Mechudosh Digger addition. Shekosav Aleo. V'dafka, Shekosav Nala Ugois Oisiyas Medova Acher. He said this Issa is only if the writing is from a different material. Such as, you have, what do we normally use? Icing. When there's icing, which is made out of, you have got chocolate cake, and there's icing on top, which says, Mazel Tov, Grandpa. Yeah? So that will be, icing is different, it's made out of different ingredients. However, but if the letters are made from the cake itself, bitfus, if it was, tfus, what's called tfus, if it's like, pardon?
Printed,
yeah, if it's not, no, he means that it's made out of actual mold. That's the word. If it's molded part of the cake, so really fancy, you go to Kuczynski about it, it's really fancy. It's not icing, but it's actually engraved within the cake itself has got a certain happy birthday. It's not an additional, but it's part of the cake itself. Or if it was done with your hands, sure, it's permitted. The ancient ksiva, because that's not considered ksiva, and therefore it's not considered mechika. We made a lo shech b'ze mechika. Right, so the Mishnah Berurah is telling us that if it's made out of the same material, then it's anyway, it's fine. It's only if it's made out of different, if it's icing, then it would be a problem. But then he adds, and he says something even it seems to be a contradiction, because then Mishnah Berurah is not telling us. But if, similarly also, if the letters were made out of honey with water, any other Jews, we also don't have to be astringent. So if it's made out of honey juice or any other juice, then it's also fine. So what is the problem if that's the case? What remains to be a problem? So only solid icing there is a problem. Is that what you're saying?
That you actually have to crack it.
You actually have to crack it because it's hard, it's solid. Good point. Good. So, okay. So again, just to summarize that, because we're going to carry on tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem. We're learning. The Rama is coming to teach us that mechike is not only by rubbing off, it is also mechike by eating cakes. When is there an Issa? The Mishnah Berurah says, only if it's an additional element, such as solid icing, but if it is made out of the cake itself, it's considered fine, it's not considered mechika. Similarly, if it's a juice or a lighter, softer kind of item, then it's fine as well. So what remains, the only problem, what will remain in Issa? What will remain in
rice paper.
Yeah, what's rice paper, what's that exactly? Yeah, there will be a problem. Yeah, there will be a problem. There will be a problem. Okay, there is more Ethereum to follow me at
the
shame.
You can take the palette out.
Yeah.
And then you eat the cake
normally. Yeah. Yeah, you could. Yeah, you could. No reason why not. Okay, so more on that tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem. Good evening. And good Chodesh.